Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to you, behind-the-scenes workers in television, film, and theater on the labor dispute and possible strike, and Mike in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
What you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's a catch-22, because really the hours are long, but the pay is somewhat good for the hours, but you know, I'm taking
what do you do
at, like,
can I ask
like
what you today. What you do so people have a sense? What's your job?
Yes, sir. I'm a sound op.
Uh-huh. A soundie, like Juliana Fonda at the audio controls for this show right now, right? It's like you run the soundboard during what, a live production?
Well, I mean, a little less glamorous than that. I'm kind of the sound recordist and mixer for television shows and mostly reality TV these days.
Gotcha. And because you do your work well, nobody notices, right? People only notice the sound on a TV show if there's a glitch.
I mean, honestly, I like to think I'm in support of the camera department. If I've done my bit properly, I am not seen nor heard. Well, heard, but not known.
I hear you. So what are the working conditions like?
I mean, it's honestly long hours. If you're lucky, you get a 12-hour day is a short day. A lot of times it'll go, you know, 16 to 20 hours. You get compensated accordingly, but, you know, when you're going months on end like this, you know, today, for example, I'm just getting the luxury of going to the grocery store. My first day off really since Memorial Day.
And why has it always been like this? Could they do it differently?
I mean, it's a tough thing. I kind of get the hours because you're fighting daylight, especially if you're working outside and not on a dedicated sound stage. Mm-hmm. But it's just it's the economies of scale. As far as I'm concerned, you just have to get the shots in, whether it's daylight dependent or talent dependent. And so in the U.S., at least, we have a really light schedule. If you look at other productions, which I've worked either coming from China or other Asian productions, I know even British productions have more rigorous hours, not necessarily longer, but they are a little more rigorous.
So if this is the way that it's always been, why is the union on the verge of a strike over it now?
Honestly, I think the pandemic has really catalyzed a huge change. I know when my production shut down for several weeks, I had to pre-quarantine before going to take care of my in-laws up in Maine. And it was really those 2 weeks in quarantining up in Vermont, I just kind of sat back and I'm like, I haven't been this happy in, you know, 5 or 6 years, and it really took a pandemic for me to stop working and, you know, decompress a little to have that happen. And that's been the story with a lot of my friends working in production. It, you know, that downtime really kind of put a magnifying glass on, why am I doing this to myself? Mm. You know, I'm driving back from a grocery store in Staten Island, and I just feel absolutely like a zombie for working, you know, weeks on end with maybe a day off, and that day is dedicated to traveling to the next location. It's not physically sustainable. And so I really think the pandemic forced a lot of people to reevaluate the hours they're putting in and how it's impacting their lives.
Thank you for telling us your story, A, and putting all that so clearly. B, good luck out there, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Let's go next to Kimmie in Brooklyn. Kimmie, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
What do you do in the biz?
So I am a set designer for theater, and I strongly support my brothers and sisters in the film and TV industry. I'm local 829. And I'm a set designer for theater, and theater, that is another industry that grossly exploits the labor of its arts workers, especially in the off-Broadway scene, where these institutions claim a not-for-profit entity but the top administrative personnel earn so much more than the people who are actually creating the work that they sell. And, you know, you have to understand that in theater, designers and directors are not paid hourly or weekly. It's even a much more terrible situation. And, you know, the average hourly for a scenic designer working on off-Broadway is under $10 an hour before tax. So I really hope that this strike in the TV and film industry in Hollywood will give us traction in the theater industry to stand up for ourselves and fight for a living wage.
Kimmy A., thank you very much. Patrick on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. I see you're an IATSE stagehand, right, Patrick?
Yes, Local 52 here in New York.
Where you been working?
I've been working all over the five boroughs for the years. I spent a lot of time in the Brooklyn Navy Yard at Steiner Studios, but I've been through and through since 2003, nonstop, for years, and it really took the pandemic, having that 5 months off, 4 months off, to really change my life. I mean, you know, the business is great. It's a great business, but for the shooting crews, it's very difficult. I mean, you make good money. I'm not complaining about the money. I mean, it's just enough to keep you quiet. But imagine showing up for work at 6 a.m. on a Monday, right? You work 14 hours till 10 o'clock at night on Monday. Then Tuesday, you're coming in at 9 a.m. Then Wednesday, you're coming in at 11 a.m. Friday, you're coming in at 2, 3 p.m., and you're working till 6, 7 o'clock Saturday morning. So now you come home from work Saturday morning. You sleep all day. You wake up Saturday evening. You don't get to see your family. You don't get to participate with your family and friends. You wake up Sunday at whatever time you wake up, and then you have that day. Then you got to be back at work Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, the main problem is what's going on. It affects us here in New York, but California and New York are separate locals. It's a separate mm-hmm. thing. But there is some locals, like Local 600 is the camera operators, where they're national. They're on a national contract. We're on an East Coast agreement over here. So it would affect all film and television productions here. But the main thing is they want a longer turnaround for the shooting crews on the weekend. Because, you know, then, you know, you remember commuting times to get in and out of where we're working. Right. You know, it's not like we go to the same place every day. Every day we're in a different neighborhood. You know, we could be in Manhattan on Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday Staten Island, Wednesday the Bronx, you know, Friday all the way out in Long Island somewhere. Right. And, you know, it's stressful. And, you know, figuring out your commute and your schedules, it can be.
When we talked about the job picture in New York City yesterday, one of the things that came up specifically is that TV and film production is one of the few industries that's adding jobs, and in part because TV shows still want a lot of New York area shots in their shows.
Well, it's not really about the New York area. It's more about the tax credit and coming to New York and how we can save money. But then they get the tax credit. So let's say, for example, a job like Law and Order Organized Crime came in. I'm not trying to create waves here, but look. You know, that is a long-term job. The first season they come in, there's no vacation pay. You know, we don't get vacation pay on first-season jobs. And when a first-season TV show comes into New York, it's usually 2 or 3 months of prep work and then 8 months of shooting. If it's a long-term, if it's 10 episodes or mm-hmm. a 22-episode series for, like, CBS or ABC. So we're not getting the vacation pay on the first-season shows. We've given up meal money on. We used to get a few dollars for lunch on locations where we used to get like $10 or $6 or something. They gave that up. We had night differential years ago where if you came in after a certain time, if you came, you know, at 3 p.m., you get time and a half or double mm-hmm. time for work at mm-hmm. nighttime.
Yeah.
But now, you know, you work for straight time. You're working overnight. Mm-hmm. You're working for straight time. Now the union is very strong. It's a good union. We get after 8 hours, you get overtime, and I'm not trying to knock the union or anything, but there has to be some kind of thing for these people on the shoe crew, because for them to work 14 hours every day, I mean, it is the business. It does, you know, it's a lot goes into it. There's a lot that goes into film production. It's a difficult thing, but with good planning, it can be done. It can be done
so,
very good.
So,
I mean,
Patrick, do you think there's going to be a strike, and what would it take to avoid one?
Well, it would definitely take a response from the producers to avoid one for not even coming back at us with some kind of discussion, especially in this climate now with the way things are in society. you know, to not even respond to the people who are, you know, giving their lives. I mean, I know we're making money and we're living off, but we're giving our lives up, not, for, you know, to make the, and a lot of us love the job. I love the industry. It's been very good to me. You know, I don't want to be like a complainer, but, you know, when they call Apple TV and Netflix and all these other streaming companies as new media, they're not new anymore. They're no longer new. The subscriptions are there. The money is there. And, you know, if the producers would come back and you know, discuss with us what's going on, and maybe we could work something out. You know, and the actors, I mean, you know, it's a very tough industry. But, you know, if they could say, you know, look, we're willing to negotiate here. We'll take a little less and, you know, let's give a little more to our crews who are putting in the effort and, you know, I mean, I don't even do shooting crew anymore, really, because it's taking too much out of me. I did it for my first decade of this career, and you know, but even as an offset worker, I still work when I'm on a job. We're working 6 days a week normally, you know. It's very delicate,
Patrick,
thing what's happening here. But
it's a your call is a revelation to so many people who just watch their shows and don't ever have to think about this stuff. So thank you for your voice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Heather in Michigan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Heather.
Hey, Brian. Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
There's an IATSE local in Michigan?
No, I actually worked in New Orleans for about 10 years and at 478, local 478.
Uh-huh. And what did you do down there?
I was in the art department. I worked as a prop master, did set dressing, but I worked primarily on set. There are a couple different tracks you can kind of take, but the set life really enticed me. I was young. I graduated kind of after the crash of 2008, so there weren't a ton of opportunities at that time, and it was a really lucrative business. Not saying I recommend anyone be a PA, but, you know, it's how you get in, and it's so hard to... I mean, I got into the union and got health insurance, which was difficult at that time as well. There are so many really wonderful things about it. I felt like my crew was my family often. There's this weird camaraderie kind of you, and I know this is a weird way to say this, but you feel like you're in the trenches against time, against sometimes the producers who have this sort of buddy-buddy relationship, but also are the ones who, I swear, they will walk around and they see dollar signs over people's heads. And once we hit over 8 hours, you know, everyone's dollar signs turn red and the money just keeps going up. And that we would have, I mean, I definitely have fallen asleep driving home after a 16-hour day. That was an hour to get to the location and then an hour home. And, you know, I had to quit. I had to leave the film industry and the IATSE in general, because it was not sustainable for me to have a life, have a family, and be able to not feel the immense amount of pressure. And I agree with all the previous callers. The money is great, but it's golden handcuffs, like so many industries are.
Is there a way around it and still get the production done the way it needs or they need to be done?
I mean, a lot of that responsibility does lie with the first ADs, kind of who put together the schedule in a lot of ways. And like the previous caller said, because there are so many locations and things are location dependent. But yes, ultimately there are good producers who know, good ADs who know how many pages you can really shoot in a day. You get sides, which are all of the pages you're going to be filming in that day, particularly in TV or film. And some days, you know, a reasonable amount, you can get 3, 4, 5 pages. But when you come in with a day that's 12 pages, it's already clear to the crew, we're not going to make our day. We all know when we're still shooting the first scene by lunchtime, which is mandated supposed to be 6 hours after call in the morning, that we're not going to make our day. And there's absolutely no way. And by the time we're supposed to wrap and we still have 2 more scenes to shoot, everybody knows we're going to be there for second meal. And it just ultimately to me, it seems like it costs more money for the poor planning. But they were like, we'll get it done in 6 weeks. It's low budget. And then that 6 weeks turns into twice as much shooting because we're shooting for 15 to 16 hours a day.
And then you fall asleep after a 16-hour day on the road home. Heather, thank you very much. This is a revelation, folks, right, to a lot of you. one call after another. We're going to give Lizzie in Bushwick our last minute. Lizzie's calling in as a non-union television worker on what it looks like from that vantage point. Right, Lizzie?
Yes. Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. And forgive me for squeezing you, but we've got about 40 seconds here.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm non-union, so I wouldn't benefit from these contract negotiations, but I'm hoping that they would set a precedent for some of these smaller production companies who are mostly non-union, working in documentary-style television. So I'm really, you know, pro these this strike. But I also just wanted to say that, you know, we're not essential workers, but during the pandemic, a lot of people went to set in pandemic conditions to make content for people who were stuck at home, right. You know, and give a right. sense of normalcy right. and a place of escape. You know, without those people, we wouldn't have Tiger King sequel.
You know? There so, you like, go. And we can't top that. So that's a good point on which to leave it. Lizzie, thank you. All of you, thank you who called in. For those of you who called in, good luck out there. We will follow these labor negotiations and see if there's a strike. The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Lisa Allison, Mary Croak, Zoe Azoulay, Amina Cerna, and Carl Boisrond. Zach Goddard-Cohen works on our daily podcast. Juliana Fonda is our soundie. Now we know they're called soundies at the audio controls.